I'm going to read a verse of Scripture this morning that is seldom read. And a lot of times in our personal devotions, our Bible readings, when we come to a passage like this, we just kind of skim through it to get down to the good stuff because of these difficult names to pronounce. We usually just skip right on by, but listen to them this morning. Matthew chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac. Isaac begat Jacob. Jacob begat Judah and his brothers. Judah begat Perez and Zerah by Tamar. Perez begat Hezron, and Hezron begot Ram. Ram begot Amminadab. Amminadab begot Nahshon, and Nahshon begot Salmon. Salmon begot Boaz by Rahab. Boaz begot Obed by Ruth. Obed begot Jesse. And Jesse begot David the king. David the king begot Solomon by her who had been the wife of Uriah. Solomon begot Rehoboam. Rehoboam begot Abijah. And Abijah begot Asa. Asa begot Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat begot Joram. And Joram begot Uzziah. Uzziah begot Jotham. And Jotham begot Ahaz. Ahaz begot Hezekiah. Hezekiah begot Manasseh. Manasseh begot Ammon. And Ammon begot Josiah. Josiah begot Jeconiah and his brothers about the time they were carried away to Babylon. And after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconiah begot Shealtiel. And Shealtiel begat Zerubbabel. And Zerubbabel begot Abihud. Abihud begot Eliakim. And Eliakim begot Azor. Azor begot Zadok. Zadok begot Achim. Achim begot Eliud. Eliud begot Eleazar. Eleazar begot Mathan. And Mathan begot Jacob. And Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. Here in the 21st century, we rarely pay attention to lists like this. I know there's a website where you can look up your ancestors, but I would almost bet that there aren't, and I'm not counting you in this number, but I would almost bet that there aren't 8 out of 10 people who could tell you the names of their the maiden names of their grandmothers. Stella Mae Cooper and Victoria Bernard are the names of Kyle's grandmothers and mine. We just skip by these. But here is a family history written centuries ago, written at a time when women were second-class citizens. Ladies, I'm sorry, that's the way it was. And to have the names of 5 women included in this genealogy is incredible. And 4 of those women did not have a good reputation. And the 5th had her reputation restored under unusual circumstances. So let's take a look at these that Professor Harold Hill might have sang, the sadder but wiser girl. And let's begin with Tamar. Now, with Tamar's story, we've got to start back a little bit to when Joseph was born. Of his father's 12 sons, he was the favorite. His father made him a tailor-made suit. He didn't go to JCPenney and get it off the rack. The Bible calls it a coat of many colors. And Joseph was a dreamer. He had a dream where he and his brothers sheaved up the grain for harvest. And the 11 sheaves that the brothers prepared bowed down to Joseph's sheaf. And he had another dream where the sun and the moon and 11 stars bowed down to him. And his brothers resented him. His brothers hated him. And one day he comes to meet them, to greet them out in the field. And one of them says, "Here comes that dreamer. Let's do away with him. And we won't have to put up with Dad's favorite anymore." Well, Judah said, "You know, fellas, we really ought not kill our brother. Let's just abandon him out here to his fate. Put him in this deep hole, cover his coat in blood, take it back to Dad, tell him something happened, a wild animal tore him or something." And they said, "Well, that's a good plan." Then they hear the tinkling of the bells on the camels as there's a caravan on its way to Egypt. And they said, "Aha, let's make a little money on this deal and sell Joseph to them." Well, Joseph is sold into slavery, and Judah rescues his brother from death. But later, Judah leaves home and, in violation of God, marries a Canaanite woman. Now, the story gets complicated. But Tamar is the widow of Joseph's oldest son. And then, in strange circumstances, she disguises herself as a prostitute, becomes pregnant by her father-in-law, Judah, and has twins. Perez, the first born child, becomes one of the descendants of Christ. And from a human standpoint, it's difficult to see how Tamar could ever have been in the family tree of Jesus. But then second is Ruth. You know this story. Ruth is a Moabitess. Her mother-in-law, Naomi, and her husband, Elimelech, leave home because there's a famine, go into the land of the Moabites. There she marries Mahlon. Orpah marries Chilion. And all three men die, leaving all three women widows. Naomi hears that there's food back home, and she says, "Girls, you've been good to me. I'm going home. You go back to your people." Orpah says, "Okay." And Ruth says, "Whither thou goest, I will go. Whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy God shall be my God. Your people shall be my people." And she goes back with Naomi. And when she gets back, here are these two widows. They probably don't have two coins to rub together. But they have a relative, Boaz, who's a rich man, and he has fields, and they're gleaning. And Naomi says, "Go over to Boaz's field and pick up the leftovers." And it was a law that you didn't glean the field completely. When you came to the corners, you didn't cut them off square, you cut them off round. So there's always going to be something there for the widows and the orphans and the strangers to come and pick something up. And if you're gleaning it out in the field and it drops, don't pick it up, leave it there. Well, Ruth does that. And Boaz sees her. And there's an attraction between the two. And Naomi plays matchmaker and it works. And Ruth marries Boaz. And the child born to Ruth is named Obed. And Obed is the grandfather of David. But Obed's mama was not a member of the covenant people. How did she get into this lineage? Then thirdly, we come to Bathsheba. Now, in books and movies, it's Bathsheba who gets the bad press. She's the brazen hussy who goes out at night, knowing the king's at home, knowing the king likes to spend time up on the rooftop where he can look out over the city, and she sets up her bath, and she gets in the bathtub, and there attracts the attention of the king. He brings her into the palace, and they have an affair. They have an adulterous affair. Well, that's the way it's usually told. I don't think that's the way it happened. Bathsheba does go out to take a bath. It's a ritual cleaning bath, ritual purification bath, after her time of the month. And I think she's expecting a little bit of privacy. But there's David up on the roof, and he looks out and he sees her. And he brings her to the temple, to the palace. Now, in that day, whatever the king wants, the king gets. And his seduction of Bathsheba can be termed nothing short of rape. And if it's the 21st century, he's going to be charged with sexual harassment. And even if Bathsheba was a willing participant, her position as just an ordinary person and David's position as king gave her very little choice. And in this genealogy, recognizing the adultery, recognizing the murder of her husband that comes from it, Bathsheba's name is not even mentioned here. Matthew simply writes, "She whose mother had been Uriah's wife." But she's in the family tree. How did she get there? And then we come fourthly to Rahab. Now it's going to take a little more time to tell Rahab's story. Rahab is known by her occupation. Some folks are defined by their occupation, and that's clearly the case with Rahab. Truth is, her job was practically her last name, Rahab the harlot. Rahab the harlot. When you read over in the New Testament about her, she's still Rahab the harlot. There are two kinds of harlots, two kinds of prostitutes in that day. The religious ones who worked at the Canaanite temple, and the run-of-the-mill harlots who worked for cash, and Rahab is of the second kind. The Hebrew word is zuna. The Greek word is porne, from which we get the word pornography. But any way you spell it, Rahab's a whore. Ugly word. Sounds like a curse. And it often is. And prostitutes were outcast. Ostracized, moral lepers, totally tolerated, but in no way honored. And even the men who beat a path to her door at night would not have recognized her in the daytime. Just like the rest of Jericho. It's like the song you may remember Cher singing, "Gypsies, Tramps, and Thieves." At night the men would come around and lay their money down. That's Rahab. That's the reputation she has. And then spies from Israel come in to check out the land, to see what's going on so they can set battle plans to take the city. And these righteous spies take refuge in Rahab's house. And giving her standing and giving her known lifestyle, you might wonder why two religious Israeli spies are going to go and land at the harlot's doorstep. But spies can't be choosy. The king of Jericho knew they'd come, and he's got his men combing the streets for, and where better to lay low than a place where strangers come and go at all hours of the day and nobody pays much attention to it. So the king sends word to Rahab and says, in Joshua chapter 2, "Bring out the men who came to you and entered your house, because they've come to spy the whole land." Well, Rahab risks life and limb not only to hide the two men, but to lie to the king. They're not here. I've never seen these guys. And somehow she senses that there's an upheaval coming in Jericho. She reasons things through and makes the most important decision in her life. And she says to the spies, I know that the Lord has given this land to you. Now hold it, honey. The Lord, would that be Baal or some other lesser god? Do you mean the God? The one true God, the God of the Israelites, revealed His holiness to you? You of all people, a woman and a prostitute? My, will wonders never cease? And thank God they don't. Rahab says, a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. Our hearts melted and everyone's courage failed because of you. And then incredibly she said, for the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on earth below. And with that, she hides the spies. She gives them an escape route that had probably been used before, because who keeps a rope strong enough to hide a man in the closet? And she tells them to run to the hills and stay there for at least 3 days, because the king and his henchmen are looking. They'll get tired after a while looking for you, and then you can come back. And the spies say, okay. And she says, remember me and my family. And they say, this oath you made us swear will not be binding on us, unless when we enter the land, this scarlet thread that we give you is hanging out the window from which we're going to make our escape. Scarlet thread. Scarlet. Now, there's a color that makes a statement. The scarlet letter. The scarlet woman. Though your sins be as scarlet. Scarlet reeks of fallen women in red light districts. And Rahab's sins are as scarlet as the thread she hangs out the window. And every bit is obvious. And I don't know about you, but I can identify with that. That's why God's grace is so amazing. When we confess our sins, literally let them all hang out like Rahab's red thread and repent, leaving the old life behind us like Rahab did, we're forgiven and washed clean, and no spots or blemishes remain. Now think of this. Seeds last 7 days. They're out there marching around the city once each day. The last day they make 7 trips around. They blow the trumpets and the walls come tumbling down. Rahab's house is attached to the wall of the city. And if the walls come a-tumbling down, and that back wall falls out, those other 3 walls and the roof aren't going to stay long. But Rahab's family inside are spared and protected because God spares them. God protects them. It wasn't Joshua and his army. It was God. Rahab becomes part of the Israelite community and lived with them, and whatever furnishings, gold or other valuables she owned, she left behind in the rubble. And now let's read between the lines. Those 2 spies are not named, but perhaps one of them was Salmon, of whom Matthew writes, Salmon, the brother of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab, Boaz, the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Obed, the father of Jesse, and Jesse, the father of King David. Rahab the harlot, an ancestress of the royal line of David. With God, it doesn't matter who you are. It matters who you are becoming. And Rahab's courageous act and her faith earns her a spot in the role of honor in Hebrews chapter 11. Now, I mentioned a minute ago that in the New Testament, she's still called Rahab the harlot in the writings of Paul and the writings of James. Why? Why did they insist on calling her a prostitute? For the same reason people give testimony today. So that the demonstration of before and after will show the grace of God. Stories of how God has changed lives aren't intended to glorify sin. They're meant to glorify the grace of God. And if God can turn a harlot into a holy vessel, entrusting her with the very genes that will one day become the King of Kings, surely we, with whatever our past is, can leave the shame, the rubble, and walk away, fixing our eyes on the one who washes us white as snow. So Jesus comes from a line of women who were dishonorable. Tamar slept with her father-in-law while pretending to be a prostitute. Rahab was a prostitute. Ruth, the woman who was a foreigner and whose people served other gods. And Bathsheba, whose name isn't even mentioned because of what happened with her. So what do we do from this? What do we gather from this? The Savior of the world came from people we would not have anything to do with. The Savior of the world came from people that we would ridicule. The Savior of the world came to this earth because of people like His relatives. Oh, I don't think I've forgotten. I told you at the beginning there were five women. And the fifth was Mary, Jesus' mama. An engaged woman, pregnant with another's child. Her fiancé hid her in the backwater town of Bethlehem to save her life. Because you see, in that day, even though they were not married and were engaged, she would have been considered an adulteress. And adulteresses were stoned to death. So Joseph hides her. And when Mary and Joseph come back home, do you think the gossip stopped? As they come back into town with this little bundle named Jesus? Do you think the gossip stopped? Do you think the snide remarks would have stopped? Mary's reputation was rehabilitated, as I said, because of unusual circumstances. Back then, she would have still been a scarlet woman, but God used her. Oh, how He used her. And God wants us to see this morning that through Him, anything is possible. Through Him, even I can be used. Through Him, even you can be used. Through Him, it... does not matter how bad our past was. Through Him our lives can be changed. And we don't deserve it. Through Him our lives can have an eternal impact on many people. And let's close this with what Paul said to the church in Philippi. Chapter 4, verse 13. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. And if I could dare add a parenthesis to what Paul said, no matter what my past, I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. Amen.